Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly. Today, we're taking a deep dive into what the Cultivate Church Planting Program is all about and how it works. Joining me are the other members of the Cultivate Leadership Team, Ed, Bruce, and Nick. Together, we'll unpack the mission, methods, and impact of the CGN Network's Church Planting Initiative. Stay tuned for an informative discussion. The Cultivate Podcast is part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. Check out cgnmedia.org for more great shows and ways to support the ministry. Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast, and we've got a great episode today. And we're here with the Cultivate team.
Woo!
What up?
The core leadership team here at Cultivate, and this is kind of peeling back the... When you get a Ferrari and you open up the hood, you peel it back and you look at the engine inside.
How would we know about Ferraris for pastors?
And then you realize that the in the front there's no engine at all.
Yeah, there's no engine at all. And then you look in the back, it's a couple of hamsters on a wheel. Well, we're the hamsters on the wheel today, and we're going to talk about Cultivate. We're going to talk about church planting networks. We're going to talk about kind of what goes on behind the scenes that we really feel like God is leading us into in this journey of church planting networks. And so we have to my left, Ed Compion, church planter extraordinaire, missionary extraordinaire. So hello, Ed.
I feel like I paid you to say those things. It's good to be here with you guys. Good to be together in one space.
Yeah. Bruce Zachary.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Bruce, who's been on the show before and... has traveled around not only with Cultivate, but as a pastor, church planner, missionary, all of the above. Welcome, Bruce.
Welcome. Hey, guys.
And then Nick Cady, our fearless leader, is here today with us. And Nick and I have done a couple of episodes already, but I think I called you at one point the brainchild of Cultivate. And, so he's the brains behind the operation.
Trying my best.
And much more.
Yeah.
Much more.
So. Yeah, and I'm glad to have you guys. We're recording in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's exciting. You know, for a long time.
At Whitefields Community Church, pastored by Nick Cady.
There you go, yeah. For a long time, you know, after I moved here to Colorado, like, nobody ever visited me. They're like, that's really far from everything else. Yeah. So it's been nice having some visitors.
It's not a flyover state. We get to be here and enjoy
That's it. Right, yeah.
Yeah, we have a gathering scheduled for the next day. We're going to be meeting with prospective church planters and sending churches, and it's an opportunity for the four of us to gather and just have time to talk about Cultivate and to work together in that gathering.
Great. Talking about Cultivate, Nick, why don't you run us through just a summary of what Cultivate is as far as a church planting program, maybe a little bit about the Calvary Global Network that we're a part of, and just for the listeners who may not be aware of what we're doing.
Yeah, so the essence behind Cultivate is this, that we have a really rich heritage as Calvary Chapel in the church planting space. I think we were doing it before it was popular or cool or hip or trendy. And we were it was kind of part of our DNA, right? It's just the thing that you did as churches, is that as Calvary Chapel churches, we were multiplying. There would be people in another community that said, hey, we'd love to have a church like that in our community. And so people were being sent out, churches were being planted, to the point where we have a community of 1,800 churches connected to Calvary Global Network. And, you know, as time goes on, we get into the next generation, we thought, you know, this is a really important part of who we are. And we don't want this to just be something that was part of our past. We want it to also be part of our present and our future. And so another thing is that as we've seen these 1,800 churches planted, you know, actually more than that have been planted over the years, the deal is that, you know, we've learned a few things as we planted these churches. One of the things we learned is that sometimes people were trained well, and sometimes they were not trained at all. Sometimes they were trained less well. So one of the things that we've gleaned through the experience and through the relationships that we've had over these last 50 years or so of Calvary Chapel is saying, okay, well, what if we could actually use some of the things we've learned, some of the wisdom that exists now amongst seasoned church planters in our network, and how could we create a program that would help people to be set up for success? And, you know, some people would say, well, if God wants it to succeed, it'll succeed, right? You're taking, it's an unspiritual approach to say that we should try to set people up for success. And I would argue with that and say, no, I think that's just, that's wisdom. And it's actually pretty spiritual and godly to say, we want healthy churches that will serve their people well, that they'll teach good biblical theology, that they're going to know how to care for people's unique needs. They're going to know how to reach their communities effectively, because I would say there's an urgency to the gospel and there's an urgency for church planting. And so we want to do it. We want to see it multiply and we want to see those churches succeed.
So a lot of times in the past, there would be the attitude of, you know, if the Lord's in it, it's going to succeed. And, you know, to our that we kind of fault ourselves on this is that a lot of the pastors would have good intentions in sending out a church plant. But, you know, it would kind of be like the, we've joked around about this before, the, where God guides, God provides. You know, we're really praying for you. Here's $100 and good luck.
Yeah,
that was just, the church planting program of the past.
Yeah, God, I would just guides. Distinguish it this way, that there is this view that it was a purely organic work with no planning when it started at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And to the contrary, Pastor Chuck was establishing the Bible College as well as schools of ministry to prepare church planters. So as it began, it was both a spirit-led or organic as well as being a matter of preparation and training. And it was a both and rather than a dichotomy of either or. As we go through the scriptures, we see that there are organic aspects, but also well-planned aspects of advancing God's kingdom. And so we at Cultivate view it as a both and rather than an either or.
We use a lot of language in Cultivate surrounding, you know, cultivate. We talk about planting churches. We talk about the garden in which churches are planted. We say that's the local church. But even if you think about like organic farming or gardening, you know, it's interesting that things that grow without any planning, lots of things grow without plans.
But like weeds?
Yeah, they're not often what you want to grow. And sometimes those things can choke out the healthy growth that you want. Okay. And so like any really good gardener, they are putting thought and planning and things like that into that in order to help things grow well.
Yeah, to continue that analogy, if you imagine a trellis that's there to support the plant, the trellis isn't the plant, but it supports the plant. And similarly, Cultivate comes alongside the local church and training prospective church planters and helping to support sending churches. But we recognize that the local church is the primary garden to cultivate church planting.
I like that. The organic idea. That's a good one. But, you know, even if it's organic, you're still planting it out and supporting it.
The metaphor continues. If we want that plant to continue to produce fruit, there is a long-term relationship from the sending church to continue. And that's one of our goals, is at least a year of continuing to mentor and coach that planter and the family and maybe even some of their team as they get rolling to continue to do well, not just, you know, kind of swat them on the backside, say, be warm and fed and go, but it's to love them well through the whole process.
Hey, Amen. Brian, can I jump in on the question of the historical aspect in the Calvary Chapel movement that you first started with?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say in that first generation of the Jesus movement, churches were being planted at an exponential rate. It's just this hockey stick pattern of growth. And then as we moved into the 90s, it started to plateau. There wasn't the same energy and there wasn't the same focus. And so as
why is that, Bruce? Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just curious. Why did that happen? Why did it stop growing like that?
I don't think that Pastor Chuck was ever opposed to church planting. I think he's always been for it, always was for it, as we are now 10 years past his passing. But I don't think it was a primary focus as he was seeking to make disciples. It was something that happened very early in the movement, as Nick mentioned, that people were requesting a church like Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in their community. And Chuck was trying to send people out to support that. But then as we moved into that next generation, I think just because it wasn't above the burner, or above the radar, so to speak, it just became neglected somewhat. So in the early 2000s, I believe we saw the start of the Calvary Church Planting Network, and again, reinitiating that effort to see churches planted and seeing hundreds of churches planted through that effort. But again, as there was wane on the focus as the years went on. It created an environment where it became, especially in a post-pandemic environment, critical for an entity like Cultivate to come alongside the Calvary Global Network to re-engage in church planting. You know, we understand that the gospel is the hope of the world and that the world needs more gospel-centered churches, and that's what we want to support.
You talked about the Calvary Chapel Church Planting Network, and you were instrumental in that, Bruce, in creating that. Bruce literally wrote the book on church planting.
One of them, yeah.
The Calvary Chapel Church Planting Manual, which we use extensively in our program.
Yeah, that's part of a training resource. And along with Ed, that was really an impetus to start that because both of us wanted to see churches planted from our local churches. And most of the resources that we encountered were really marketplace. Mm-hmm. It was principles from the marketplace on church growth rather than systematic theology or philosophy of ministry. And we started to think about some of the lessons that we wanted to pass along that nobody taught us when we got started, and to make it really practical.
Put it down on paper.
Yeah, as well as including an element of teacher training that was so important in our movement. We recognize that teaching isn't the only gift, but we place a high value on teaching in the Calvary Chapel movement.
And by the way, I want to add that you can get that church planting manual on our website, cultivatechurchplanting.com. And
yeah,
there's a list of resources
there
for free.
It's available now in eight languages.
Free.
Yeah, which is nice that people in diverse parts of the world can use that resource in their own language if they'd like.
It's time tested in several different cultures now. And so it's proven itself to be a very valuable tool to help establish more churches that are honoring our Lord.
Talking about different cultures, we're not only looking at church planting in the United States, which is where we are, but we've seen churches planted around the globe, and that's our goal as well. What do you think? You talked about the church planting manual being available in different languages for different cultures. What do you think is the benefit of having a not only the manual, but also a program like Cultivate that can reach to those different cultures? And I guess I would add to that question, what are some of the limitations of a program that's created in the U.S.? Like, how are we able to reach those other cultures that are dissimilar to ours as far as practicalities? Ed, you're the pro. You lived in Africa. How long did you live in Africa?
You lived in Africa as well.
I know. I wanted you to say that. That's why I mentioned it. How long did you live there?
A little over 10 years.
A little over 10 years? Yeah. I was a little under 10 years.
Okay. Well,
literally. So you're better than me.
You were there first, so you were. You know,
oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm better than you. All right. Go ahead.
So listen, I think one of the things that we bring as Cultivate is something like the Church Planting Manual is certainly written from a Western perspective with much sensitivity to what is biblical and will not change. You know, the mission doesn't change. The method might be adapted in the cultures. But what we gain, what we bring to the table, I think, is relationships with people in these cultures, and they can take it and adapt, say, this is how this works here. You know, what is verse-by-verse teaching? How does that work in a culture that does not have a Bible in their mother tongue?
Mm-hmm.
How does this work
good example.
In a situation that is extremely relational, maybe not like our individualistic society here, that those people we know on the ground or we're building relationship with on the ground, they bring more to the table than we as you and I would say, Wazungu, as white people would say, we know people on the ground, you in Europe and Bruce, you have relationships all over the world as well. And so that's where I think the win is. It's highly relational. It's not just a document saying, hey, do this and it'll work.
Yeah, I think the Church Planting Manual is intentionally written with the intention that a mentoring pastor, if you contemplate, let's say, a lead pastor, a senior pastor who's training a youth pastor or an associate pastor, that mentor is adapting the resource and its application to be culturally contextual.
It's not one size fits all.
Well, in a certain sense, it is, but embellishment, in other words, if you imagine, let's say, the one size fits all hoodie, but you can embellish that in its decoration. And so you're making it applicable in your cultural context, as well as all of the assessment resources that we're providing through Cultivate. We want those assessment resources to be focused on theological and philosophical principles, but they're also going to have a cultural context, whether it's a shame and honor culture or a justice culture, its application. We don't want it to be focused on a suburban environment in North America or in the United States in particular.
Great. Let's get back to relational, because what we're I don't know if it's okay to say it this way, but what we're really proud of in the Cultivate program, with a godly sort of boasting, I guess we could say, is our coaches, the relational coaches. And you can go on the website, cultivatechurchplanting.com, and click the coaches link and find those individuals around the world.
Six continents.
Multiple languages, six continents, expert church planters and pastors, all of them. And you can get a connection to those coaches. And this is the value of having Calvary Chapel, Calvary Global Network, is that we already, it's a newer church planting program, but we already have those coaches that have been relationally together for so, so many years.
Yeah, thousands of hours of expertise.
Yeah,
of
literally.
Pastors there.
And as we developed the program, you know, just thinking back to how this came about, one of the things that we wanted to do was say, okay, like what are the things that we excel at in Calvary Chapel? Like what are the ways that God has called us uniquely as a movement? And then how can we make sure that we create a program that highlights those things? So one of the things that Calvary Chapel has always been really good about is being a relational network, a relational, you know, training resource and things like that. In the past, though, it was kind of like you had to know somebody. But what we're trying to do with this is to try and help actually connect people.
Yeah, that's
so that you're like, well, I don't know anybody. I guess I just can't ever be
for
trained.
Guy,
well, I think, too, the language, you know, whereas in prior generations, we saw ourselves as an association of independent churches collected together as a network. Now family language seems far more prevalent in the Calvary Global Network. And family is a different metaphor than a sense of a network of associated. It's a different implication. And I think that's intentional. And I think that's what we're striving for. And again, in the best sense of the word strive, we're aiming at creating familial relation between churches that are part of our group. Mm.
Do you have to be a Calvary Chapel to be part of Cultivate?
No, we've had several people join Cultivate who are not Calvary Chapel, but they love what we stand for and the values, and they agree with them. And we've had people go out and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be planting this kind of church, like maybe a Southern Baptist church in one case. And we say, hey, that's cool. We'd love to help train you and things like that, you know, if you agree with our core foundational values. But definitely the majority of people who are joining, they're people who have some connection to Calvary Chapel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are other training resources and movements. I think this one's unique because I think it encompasses, first of all, our values as Calvary Chapel, especially that relational one. But, you know, sometimes people might get into another group or movement and say, you know, it just doesn't feel like home. This isn't my tribe or my family or my network. And so we want to make sure that there's a resource for people who say, I love Calvary Chapel and what they're about. I want to plant a Calvary Chapel. And so, hey, we would love to help resource you and train you to do that.
Yeah. To look at the other side of that coin, I know I've screened and had interviews with a few and people that desire to plant, and they are certainly love Jesus. They want to see healthy church plant, but they had some core doctrines that were slightly different than ours or significantly different. And so we generally...
Sorry, we're not going to help you plant a Mormon Church of Latter-day
wasn't
Saints
that significant,
church.
But some significant differences that we would say, man, God bless you. Let's help you find a better network to work with.
Yeah,
that would be better for you. And pray God's blessings on them.
There are certainly distinctives that we adhere to that we would require.
And we could spend all day talking about
what
those.
What are some of those? Let's give some examples.
I guess
so. Nick, you're the guy. I mean, what are some of the distinctives that we would say if you want to be part of the Cultivate program or even CGN, what are they?
Yeah, so we are complementarian. We're premillennial. We're evangelical. And I feel like I'm missing one. We value biblical literacy.
Yeah. Also, we're kingdom-minded.
Kingdom-minded.
Mm-hmm. And someone would have to assent to the National Association of Evangelical Statement of Faith.
Did you say continuationist? That's the gifts of the
Spirit.
That
was the other one.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, that's an important one, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And those are some of the non-negotiables. But generally speaking, we want to play nice with everybody.
Of course. Those aren't the non-negotiables of Christianity. They're the non-negotiables of the Cultivate program, CGN.
Yeah. And so there's a relatively small handful of those values that are what we would describe as distinct. It's not unique, but distinct. And so if people want to be part of this network, this family of churches, we want them to share those values. And if not, we don't see them as being less than or that we're superior to them, but we know who we are and we're comfortable with who we are and welcome others who want to be part of that family to join with us.
Yeah.
Well said.
Awesome. All right. Getting back to the coaches, because I think this is a really valuable piece to this whole thing. Walk us through, maybe Nick, you can take this one. Walk us through what it would be like for a prospective church planter who wants to plant a church. They don't know anybody. They have no idea where to start, but they're really feeling God is leading them to do this. They may have some biblical education background, pastoral training background. They may not. What's the kind of the process of getting them connected to these coaches, these mentors? Maybe walk us through a little bit of the practical way this works.
Yeah. So what we try to do is we try to make it really easy for people to get involved. And so you go to our website, cultivatechurchplanting.com. On there, there's a tab that says Get Involved. And if you go and click that, then you'll see that there is an initial form that people can fill out. And you fill out that form. It's just 12 questions that give us a basic idea, picture of who you are. And we will follow up to that right away within 24 hours or so. We'll follow up with a response and next steps. And oftentimes that includes a phone call from a member of our core team or our leadership team. And they're going to call and just kind of get a feel for who you are, where you're at in regard to when you're going to plant. And then they're thinking about, okay, who can I connect this person with as a mentor and as a coach? So for us, the difference between a mentor and a coach, mentor is the person who works with the church planter hands-on directly on a really regular basis. The coach is the person who's more on the cultivate end, walking them through the next steps, helping the mentor to know how to train that church planter. So that's where it begins. It's just reach out to us through that form. We'll take it from there and walk you through the next steps. But basically, there's
Can
three.
I jump in on that
please.
Quick? Yeah, so on that initial assessment form, we're not trying to discern whether this person is ready to plant a church immediately. We're trying to discern whether they're ready to participate in a church planter training program. So as Pastor Nick said, the mentor is primarily training this person in the context of their local church, either the local church that's sending them out or a local church where they'd like to plant, and so in that area. And then the coach is providing indirect support, helping with resources, helping with some of the various steps that Nick's going to describe.
Yeah, so I was just going to say the program on a macro level, it has three main parts, and those parts are assessment. That's what we start with. And I think that's a unique part of the of what we do that's worth talking about more. Mm-hmm. But assessment, then we create a personalized training program based on the assessment because people have different needs. And we're not trying to do the same thing for everybody because people have different...
Well, Bruce said one size fits all, but then he gave an... And I liked it. I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. But then you said like a one size fits all hoodie, but I don't think I've ever seen one of those before.
Well, I think the one size fit all comment was in regard to the manual per se.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I get it.
As Nick's saying, if somebody has 6 years of pastoral experience, they're in a different situation than someone with 3 years or perhaps no vocational full-time pastoral experience. And so we want to curate a program that takes into consideration this person's strength, theological training, their ministry experience. And so curating a program that is personal is something that we feel is a great advantage of the program that we're offering.
Yeah. And then the third part of it is post-launch support. So again, assessment, training, and then post-launch support. Mm-hmm. Because I think some of us have gone out and realized that we didn't get a ton of support afterwards. It's kind of like, hey, go out there and let us know if something goes wrong sometimes.
Yeah. Let me know if you need any help rather than being proactive.
And to be really clear, I think that the churches who did that, like maybe they sent people out, they had the right intention, but they just didn't know. They didn't know how to train somebody to plant a church. That's kind of where we come in, is we know there are a lot of churches out there that say, I want to send out church planters. I want to train them. I don't really know where to start, and I don't know what to do. And so we give a framework, and we help walk through that process.
Can I add something to that? I hope that we have the idea. I don't hope. I believe we have the idea that we're never usurping the local church in her role to send out. We're coming alongside them.
Well, that's a good point, Ed, is because what makes Cultivate really unique among church planting programs and networks is that we're not ourselves doing the training. We're not saying, come to this training base or this location, get this training class and all that. We are equipping the local church to do the training. Yeah. So the mentor is literally usually the pastor of a church or an associate pastor, someone like that, who's helping these young church planters be equipped to do that. And we're coming alongside with the coaches and everything to help do that.
Yeah. In regard to the post-launch support, for me personally, part of my story, our local church had planted a church about 400 miles away. And that church still exists, but the church planter's marriage doesn't. And for me, in terms of my story, I recognize that perhaps I'd done a better job of training and providing post-launch support, it may have been different. So I didn't see myself as responsible for that situation, but it could have helped.
Would that be assessment or post-launch support? Because there's the different elements.
Well, yeah, just to continue real quickly. So that really motivated me to be thinking differently about the post-launch support. So we talked about the idea in future church plants that a mentor would be contacting that planter on a monthly basis during the first year. And then during the second year, it would move to a quarterly basis. And so that creates intentionality that the mentor is going to be engaging that planter at least once a month for the first year and trying to visit in person. And we appreciate that depending on proximity, that could be more frequently, but certainly at least once a year. And in the second year on a quarterly basis. And statistically, that just makes a difference on the health and the longevity and the likelihood of that church plant being effective. Mm. So it's really a post-launch support rather than an assessment issue, mm-hmm. To answer your question.
I think another thing that's unique about Cultivate is that when we do our assessment, we're not assessing a person for whether they are qualified to plant a church or not. I mean, and to some degree, we will make recommendations. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, like when you do the assessment, it's not the goal of the assessment is not to get accepted by Cultivate. It's rather we're coming alongside and saying, hey, here's the things that we feel that the assessment revealed about you that either need to be addressed or areas where we can train or we can help. But I think that's unique because a lot of the other organizations that are out there, because the way that we created this was by communicating with the other major church planting organizations. Mm-hmm. What are they doing well? We had phone calls with them, talked with them. And there was a ton of like collegiality and appreciation for each other. But we were trying to do something unique for our network and for our family of churches. And so what we came up with is, you know, with Calvary Chapel, one of the geniuses of it has always been that people have been sent out who, you know, might not be the people that you would generally...
like the apostles.
Just look around the room.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I mean, that's kind of our history with Calvary Chapel. They wrote literally a book about it, mm-hmm. right? About like, can you believe these guys pastor churches?
Untrained and uneducated, but they'd been with Jesus.
Yeah.
Harvest. Was it called Harvest?
Harvest.
Yeah, I love that book.
Yeah, and so we don't want to lose that. Like, we're not trying to filter out people whom God might be calling. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so we want to come along with recommendations.
We're not going to use the human standards and kind of what we think is best. We're going to really depend on the Lord.
Use
some tools to do that.
Education independently of calling and anointing doesn't qualify someone. But by the same token, our assessment, we've got assessment tools that we've created that help people in regard to understanding their theological training, philosophy of ministry alignment, and also using some research-based assessment tools that are available, although we didn't create them, they're still very valuable. So we want somebody to understand that they're very strong in administration, but perhaps in evangelism they aren't as strong. If they've got a great apostolic visionary tendency, but they're lacking some of the shepherding and caring skills. And it's not to disqualify or qualify, it's to help a prospective planter to understand their strengths, as well as some areas where they need some support. Either they're going to need to grow in this area or bring other people on the team with complementary gifts and common passions to be part of this work. And also, I think through the When She Leads initiative, we're providing training and support for the wives of pastors and other women on the church planting team so that they understand the women who are involved in this church plant, their value as leaders, mm-hmm. although we don't ordain women as pastors in our movement or recognize them as elders. We recognize their leadership role. We recognize generally their roles as deaconesses, that office in the church. But we want them also to be supported and trained during that process, whether in the local church or being part of a network where women and the specific needs that they have in trying to figure out their job description are
addressed. Yeah, we did a whole episode with Brenda Leavenworth and Krista Fox, and it was really, really a good one. I'd encourage the listeners to go back and check that out.
Amen.
Let's talk about Pledge to Plant.
You know, can I add something first? When we think of the assessment, I'm already doing it, so it's what
we're I'm doing it. I'm already doing it.
So when through that assessment process, we have lists and of resources, including classes with Western Seminary and other things to help bring people up. The goal is not to shut people down. How do we equip them and be used to help their church equip them to send them to be the best possible church planters that the Lord has for them?
That's good. I'm glad you did contribute that. That was good.
Good. It was just welling up.
Let's do Pledge to Plant for a second, because this is our new, I'm really excited about this. And then...
That's because it was your idea, bro. No. We know you.
And then I want to do another episode with you guys and talk about just your different stories of where it got, have a more personable talk in a future episode. But Pledge to Plant... Well, how about I talk about it?
Please.
Pledge to Plant is, and then we can
Brian,
kind of chime
can you
in.
Tell us about Pledge to Plant?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking, Bruce. I'll be happy to do that. So basically, we do have the assessment form online, which is sort of like your first step into the Cultivate program.
Get involved.
Very simple form, and I would actually encourage all our listeners who are even remotely thinking about planning a church to go ahead and fill that out, because it's not like you're signing a contract that you have to sign. You have to plan a church now that you filled this out. But it's a way for us to connect with you and help you along that journey at whatever stage you're at. So that's the initial assessment on the website. Easy to find. Pledge to Plant is for mostly existing churches that are pledging to send out a church planter from their congregations. And, you know, we've just planted a church a couple of years ago, and I filled it out, and it's basically to say, you know, over the next however many years, we're going to send out a church planning team.
Can I jump on the pledge to plant?
Did you fill that out?
Of course I did.
Okay.
But, and we are training church planters in our local church. But in that regard, on the pledge to plant, we have created the infrastructure to support the planting of 1,000 churches during the next 10 years. We're not saying that's our goal per se, but we've created the infrastructure to be able to do that. So if someone on the pledge to plant form said that they wanted to see a church planted in the next 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years, that we could come alongside and support them so that they would be prepared to see that become a reality, to go from the ideation through implementation to actualization.
Yep.
And by just getting them into our database and following up with them, it's not going to slip through the cracks.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I thought it was a brilliant idea that you had, Brian, and helpful for us, not only for prospective planters, but sending churches. And if I could also note, Nick, as you were mentioning on that assessment and getting involved, it's primarily a church planter getting involved through the assessment. But there's also a place for those who are interested in mentoring or coaching to get involved. That's listed, and we can share with people who are interested in all of those requirements and expectations once they submit that, get involved.
Yeah, part of this too with the Pledge to Plant was like this idea of like we want to champion church planting in our network. And so we want to be saying, we started this at a conference, and we wanted to tell people, hey, we would think it's a value and something that's good for your church and the kingdom and everybody involved and the community where they're going to plant, if every one of our churches would commit to planting a church in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great thing. And what it does is I've talked to so many people over the years who said, yeah, we really want to plant a church and we're going to do it someday. Well, this is our friend Ted Leavenworth has a saying. I don't know where he got it, but I love it. He says, it's like throwing your hat over the fence. Now you got to go get it, right? And so in other words, when you sign up for a Pledge to Plant, maybe say, you know, we're not in a place to do it in the next 1 to 3 years, but we might be able to do it in 5 years.
Yeah.
And we might be able to do it in like 8 years. So I'm going to throw my hat over the fence.
Yeah. And we want to do it.
Put down my yes. And what that does is then we will follow up with you and we'll have a conversation. You'll say, I'm thinking 5 years. And we'll say, okay, cool. We'll just set a reminder and we're going to check in with you and say, hey, how's it going? How can we support? How can we pray for you? You know, let's pray this thing into existence, in other words.
Yeah, I think there's several myths about church planting that we want to address. So I think when someone completes a pledge to plant as a sending church, we're now engaging them in conversation. So some of their concerns are, I'm going to be sending out some of my best people, and we don't have enough really good mm-hmm. people, or it's going to hurt the local church. And all of the evidence is to the contrary, that by sending out people to plant, it creates excitement in the local church. More qualified leaders and prospective leaders are drawn to a sending church. And to the contrary, rather than damaging the sending church, you're creating now benefit, value in that local church and in the kingdom. Furthermore, if you're going to train a group of people to be prospective church planters, where most training in the church is focused on a particular silo, like kids ministry or youth ministry, church planting by its nature is a 360-degree training. And so the people who stay in the local church who don't actually go out to
plant.
Which will
be the majority.
Yeah, as Ed said, the majority. Those people are going to be better equipped to serve in that local church. So it's a win-win. So
it's a win-win-win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, guys. Well, it's been great talking about this. Love the program. Love what we're doing. And glad to be a part of it. More information, cultivatechurchplanting.com. I'm going to do some more episodes about, I feel like there's so much more that people, there's going to be questions that are going to come up, and we'll do that in a later episode. But thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Great.